everybody, to Season 1, Episode 6 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. We have an interesting interview coming up with Randy Vataha, former wide receiver for the New England Patriots in the 1970s. If you're interested in reaching out to me, my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. You can find my website at www.ttmcast.com. I'm on Instagram as ttmcast. I'm on Twitter at castttm. The podcast is available on iTunes, on Google Listen, and on Podbean. So let's get right to our first segment. That is Baker's Dozen. Baker's Dozen is kind of a brain dump of what's going on in the TTM community for the last week. And the first thing I'd like to point out is I had an article on TTMing for spring training in SportsCollectorsDaily.com. So please, I invite you to check out my article. It's on SportsCollectorsDaily.com under Around the Hobbies. And I recommend you checking it out if you're planning on TTMing too during spring training. Sal Barry had an interesting article on SportsCollectorsDigest.com. He had an interesting article that was entitled A Closer Look at 10 Hockey Card Blunders. It kind of features about 10 hockey card blunders. I don't want to give a spoiler alert here, but there were a couple that I was interested in. The 1974 Jacques Lemaire card shows him on the Buffalo Sabres, and he never played for the Sabres, never got traded to the Sabres. He was always with the Montreal Canadiens, so they made an error there. And they also point out a pro set card of Roy Bourque where his name was spelled wrong. So there's a couple of interesting things there about hockey cards. If you're interested, I recommend that you check it out. I'm very excited about this one. The 2019 Topps Heritage set is being released on February 27th. So that's really cool, and I can't wait to see those. One of our listeners pointed out a really interesting TTMer, thanks to O Autographs. He directed me out to check out Slab City Sports, and I'm going to dub this gentleman the TTM Whisper, because boy, does he have some great returns on his site. He's got George Brett, Dennis Eckersley, O.J. Simpson, Jim Plunkett, Steve Largent, Willie Randolph, Adrian Peterson, Howie Long, a bunch of guys that I've been trying to get and haven't had luck with, and I'm really impressed with some of his returns. I've reached out to see if we can get him on a future program to interview him, because he is, as I said, he is the TTM whisperer in my mind. So I thank you, O Autographs, for pointing that out. Also, one other thing that I saw that was cool on Flair Sticker Project, it's flairsticker.blogsport, and they pointed out that 10 cards from the 1973 set were all shot on a game played on May 28th, 1972, with the Indians and the Orioles at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. Jack Brohammer, Mark Belanger, Bobby Gritch, Jerry Moses, Craig Nettles, Boog Powell, Don Baylor, Tom McGraw, Frank Duffy, and Jim Palmer, all their 1973 cards were shot there. A couple interesting things is that the Jerry Moses and Craig Nettles cards are Yankees cards. They did not show up in the Orioles or Indians uniforms. They were traded to the Yankees in the following year, and both of them were airbrushed. But I thought that was kind of cool. We had some good returns this past week. We've been building up my new 1992 game day set that I picked up on eBay about a month ago. And I've been really, I just started sending them out a couple weeks ago, and I'm starting to get some returns from that. So I got, this is for the 1992 NFL game day. I got Billy Ray Smith, Tom Waddle, Mike Golick, Troy Vincent, Jim Jensen, Dennis Gentry, Paul Gruber, Tim Crumry, Mark Shimura, Chris Jackie, Steve Bono, Rod Bernstein. So that was pretty good for returns this week. I also got a Topps 1987 and 1983 injury, Anthony Munoz, the Hall of Famer from the Cincinnati Bengals. I got a couple of Joe Fergusons. I got a 83 and 84 Joe Ferguson. I got a 82 Topps Pat Swilling, and I'm sorry, a 92 Topps Pat Swilling, a 92 Topps Paul Gruber, And I got a couple of additions to my 1978 set. I got Andre Dawson, Duffy Dyer, and Jim Catt. Those were all for the 1978 Tops. I also got an N. Pinkney 1990 Hoops card. And lastly, I got a Topps 2013 Aubrey Huff. Most of those came within a couple weeks from when I sent it out. The Ed Pinkney one took a little longer. I think that I sent that out back in the fall. All the other ones were fairly quick in return. So a really good return week. I sent out probably another 30 TTMs this week for some spring training stuff as well as some more game day cards. So hopefully we'll keep getting the returns and report back to you. Now for our Vern Rapp Minute. This Vern Rapp Minute is obviously dedicated for Vern Rapp, who passed away. I had sent him a TTM request after he passed away, and I was embarrassed by it. So I give this as a service to you so that you don't send out TTM request to somebody that had passed away. We lost Pedro Morales, who was a Hall of Fame pro wrestler. He was actually the WWE champion in 1971 and held the title until 1973. He passed away at the age of 76. He's a pro wrestler Hall of Famer. We also lost Peggy McKay, who was on Days of Our Lives for over 30 years as Caroline Brady. And in addition, she was on Perry Mason, Maverick, Lou Grant, and played Andy Taylor's ex-girlfriend on Class Reunion episode on the Andy Griffith Show. She was 90. So we lost a couple of celebrities this week, one in sports, one in celebrity, and please refrain from sending those TTM requests out to them. And for our final segment today, we have an interview with Randy Vitaja, former wide receiver for the New England Patriots back in the 1970s. It's nice to get feedback from an athlete who we send TTM requests out to and get their feeling on receiving TTMs and dealing with the TTM community. So I hope you enjoy our interview.
Joining us today on the TTM Cast Hotline is Mr. Randy Vitaja. Randy Vitaja played 7 years in the NFL, six with the New England Patriots to finish his career off with the Green Bay Packers, and he's here to talk to us today about TTM. And thank you for joining us on the program today, Randy.
Jeff, my pleasure.
So as you know, this program is this podcast is about TTM, through the mail autograph collecting, and I see your name all the time on the various sites that, people send you requests. So tell me a little about your experience with TTM and autograph collecting.
Sure. I get probably 30 to 40 cards in total, probably the average per month. The average is two, maybe three cards. I've had some, sometimes I've had probably as many as 10 or 12 cards. Once in a while, somebody will say, put a little sticker and say, keep one of these or two of these for yourself if you want. And I've had a couple of people that, caught all my years in the NFL except Green Bay. I went to Green Bay late that year from the Patriots or after training camp, and so I didn't end up having a football card in a Green Bay uniform. But, typically I get a nice little note and, the cards, but I've had some unusual ones. One year in college at Stanford, in the summer, I worked as a dwarf at Disneyland. And you looked out the other way, how could you be a dwarf and play? Well, you look out the top of the hat, and the face was down around your stomach that the kids would be looking at, and you didn't talk or anything. But somebody actually just sent a picture of one of the seven dwarfs. Actually, they had the right one, and asked me to sign that and send it back. No football card or a regular card or anything.
Now, have you told that story before?
It's been in the newspaper many times. Yeah. Well, I say many times, not so much now, but when I played, in the NFL. You know, Disney, I think, is always a little careful. They don't want too much publicity about the characters, you know, being real people doing something else. You know, they like to keep the sort of the cast image around all the characters, which was great. But somebody picked up on it, and it was out there for quite a while I was playing. And once in a while, I've done speaking engagements, and somebody's read a background, and, you know, they introduced me as one of the seven dwarfs, and then I moonlighted in the fall as a football player, you know.
So. Well, that's kind of interesting. Maybe we'll talk about that in a second. Do you go to many card shows or?
I've only done one or two. I travel a lot. We've been fortunate. We have a home in Boston, and then a sort of a vacation home in Huntington Beach, California. But we're here quite a bit around the year, and my partner and I started a business about 25 years ago in the sports area, and we've been very busy with that. And so, you know, I think I may have done two. I've had a lot of invitations. I say a lot. I get three or four a year, you know, invitations. But so I've done them, but I haven't really, because my schedule can change at the last minute, and I never want to agree to do something and then have to cancel on the people at the last minute.
So do you have a favorite card that you like signing?
Any favorite card of mine?
Yeah, any of your pop cards, anything that you like, I love that card. That's one of my favorite ones to sign.
Well, there's one that's myself and Fred Biletnikoff and
The leader card.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we were the top three receivers in the AFC in 1971. And that one, and then my rookie card is the funniest one because
I agree with you.
I started out with the Los Angeles Rams. I was the 17th round pick. They have seven rounds now, but I was the 17th round pick, and then was released right before training camp, and they ended up having to use a form of Photoshop. But remember, this was 1971, so the technology wasn't that good. And it's kind of a faded red fake jersey with my big head sitting on top. And I'll never forget, I had a friend who really was a big collector back then, and he had, you know, a big publication every, I don't know how often it came out, but it was probably 70 or 80 pages, and it was all about cards and this and that. And that card won me the ugliest football card in the NFL that year, 1971. And I wouldn't even venture to repeat the text, but it was, you know, Randy's bubbling head on top of a fake red jersey or something. But, the rest of them are pretty good. So I don't really have a specific favorite, I don't think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I was going to say, geez, it kind of looks like your high school yearbook picture or a prom.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty bad. 74, if I don't have it in front of me, I think was one of the better pictures. But, you know, they're all about the same after, other than that real ugly rookie one.
I know. Well, back then they couldn't use the logo, so it was basically
just right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It was just, you know, shoulder pads and a headshot. So
now, do people send you footballs in the mail, or
I've gotten a few over the years. I guess maybe 10. You know, since I finished playing.
Okay.
You got to be a pretty serious collector and pretty sure, I guess, you're going to get it back, because, you know, that's not cheap, but the football and all the postage. But I've gotten a few of those. I've gotten some 8x10, dossiers in a manila envelope. I did get one. I actually kept it. I actually liked it. That somebody had, this was probably 5-6 years ago, had done and photoshopped and actually did a really nice job with a big picture at the top, kind of in the middle of the old Patriot logo, you know, the guy hiking the football. And then he had put around, you know, some action photos that he had gotten someplace.
Nice.
Kind of all around that. And that turned out to be a really nice picture. So I actually have had a bunch of those made up with his permission. And if I do go somewhere or somebody, you know, a friend says, hey, my dad's an old Patriots fan, could you sign something? I use those because the guy did a great job. I forget his name. I used to remember it. But
now, do you get many custom cards? I know a lot of people are now making custom cards and sending them out.
Not so much. I've gotten a fair number of things where they took one of the football cards, sort of like what I was just describing, but okay, put it, you know, in a format with a few other things, you know, an action shot or whatever, but not real elaborate. You know, I don't think I remember getting somebody making a football card. Oh, I did get one fellow who was really nice. Sent me, I don't know, I think it was every year, and it was my football card, but instead of being the typical bubblegum size, it was about a 3x5 or bigger, and they looked exactly like a regular football card, but like I say, probably twice the size.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure how he did that, but you do get some interesting ones periodically.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fun hobby. We enjoy, you know, getting the mail and having interaction with our favorite players.
What percentage do you think when you mail one out, what percentage of people get them back?
I think I'm around between 60 and 70%, which I think is not too bad. I try to make an educated guess on who's going to send them back. There's a lot of sites out there that say who's signing and who's returning. And I try to send them to people that are signing or returning, so I don't lose too many cards. But I only send out my doubles. I just collect. I'm not a seller. I'm just a collector. So
it's good to hear. Yeah,
we appreciate your support. Now, did you collect anything, or are you a collector, or have any memorabilia from when you played?
Oh, I have a fair amount of, you know, my stuff, you know, that I kept.
Did you collect autographs from your teammates or from people?
No, never did that. But you know, a lot of shots, photos with teammates, you know, both in, you know, street clothes at this event or that event. And then I had there were a couple of cartoonists that used to do caricature kinds of things in the Globe and the Herald back, you know, people don't, well, the Boston Globe they still know, but the old Record American Herald and all of that. And the people that did them, I actually have one in a dwarf costume, you know, running down the field. But those artists were nice enough to give me an original that they did. So I kept all of those. But you know, I've got jerseys and helmet and stuff that I played in, and some programs from various games that I played in. We had a fellow at Stanford, Pete Lazatich, a wonderful guy from Billings, Montana. His dad was the high school football coach, and Pete grew up, you know, in rugged Montana on a farm and all of that. And our rookie year, I was reading the program, and the top of the program was NFL players and their animals. And so he had, you know, they had this player with these beautiful Afghan hounds and another one with horses, and it went on with all these exotic animals. And the last guy was Pete Lazatich, living in San Diego, who had pigs in his backyard.
That's funny. Now, are you a little jealous of the success of the Patriots since you've left the team?
No, you know, I've had such a ball following them. And, you know, I go to the, when I'm in Boston a little over half the year. When I'm there, I always go to the alumni meetings out at the stadium. And, you know, my son graduated, my oldest son, from Williams College. And he wanted a, for his graduation present, he wanted to go to the Super Bowl. And this was the year that the Patriots, I forget their record, they were like, during the football season, they were like 4-12, you know, about 4-12. And
This
he graduated 2002.
Okay, so right where he was starting.
Right. Actually, 2001, and I got him Super Bowl tickets, and then, you know, and then it was the 2002 Super Bowl that we went to, which turned out to be the game was their first Super Bowl championship. And when we got the Super Bowl tickets, there was no thought that the Patriots would be in them.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, and then you know, the whole story with Bledsoe going down and Brady starting, and we're watching and the team starts winning, and we laughed all through the season. Wouldn't it be funny if the first Super Bowl you ever went to would be the Patriots? And sure enough, and if you remember, there was a great sports writer in Boston, Will McDonough.
Sure.
Who was a good friend. I used to play tennis with Will, and so my son Colin and I were in New Orleans, and we're going to all the events, and we bump into Will, and Will, you know, he knew everything that was going on in the NFL, and I'll never forget, he pulled my son over and was chatting, and he said, "Now look, guys," he said, "have the best time you've ever had here, because we ain't got any chance to win this game." He said, "No chance," and I think the line was actually, we were something like 17 or 18 points. Underdogs, and this event and Terry kicking at the end was unbelievable.
You know, it's fun. Well, I have one last question, and I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. We're a little longer than we expected, but again,
no problem.
We're speaking with Randy Bataha, who played 6 years with the New England Patriots and finished up his career with the Green Bay Packers. We were talking TPM with him and talking some of his stories of his career and talking about the New England Patriots today. So one thing I kind of leaning on today, regarding today, I know, you know, you were involved with the USFL, and now we have this new league that's starting. They just had their first games this past weekend.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think they have a shot of succeeding?
It's really hard because football is a very, very expensive sport. You know, you're going to end up with 50 plus players and multiple trainers and equipment. And, you know, it's not like renting, you know, a gym for a basketball league or something. I mean, football is incredibly expensive.
Sure.
But it is just such a great television game. And, you know, I'm really optimistic for them. That they'll make it. We're actually, our company, we're a little boutique investment bank that only represents professional sports teams and leagues. And we have a project called Your Call Football, which actually allows anybody that's logged on to the app, we play 4 games in a series. And, you know, these are the same players that are playing in the Alliance Football League, which you saw.
Yep.
And but the fans actually call the plays.
Oh, that's
neat. And it's actually run on the field. The app, it's all real time. It's all streamed because people don't realize there's at least 30-second delay in most broadcasts. So it's amazing. So you log on to yourcallfootball.com. You get your app downloaded. It's free. And when the game starts, you get a diagram of three plays. You click on which one you want, and depending if the majority of the fans voting pick that play, that's what goes live right to the quarterback, and that's the play that's called. But and you get points for how well the play does. If your play isn't called, you could still score points, because if the play is doesn't gain any yards, or it's a loss or a fumble, whatever, you get what they call against the grain points. And so we did the first series last year, and we have a four-game series coming up now. We're actually playing it in the Jacksonville Jaguars indoor training facility, their indoor football field. And the games are February 25th, March 4th, 11th, and 18th.
Okay, so, well, I'm certain that the podcast will post before then. So, go check it out. It's yourcallfootball.com.
Yep, and that'll give you all, show you how it works, but it's all done. Every play is live. You see it. There's less than a second delay, and you watch the game. And, you know, we had Mike Sherman, the former head coach of Green Bay, coached one of our teams, and we signed the players, go to a regular training camp. There's two teams, and they play four games. It's a series of four games, and it's really fun. And there's prize money for people, prizes, and, you know, you can see everybody's score that plays, and your ranking, and you can have you can play against friends. You can sign up head to head, or get a league of 10 guys to play each other. It's really a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. You know what? I will definitely check it out. And if I'm still married after I do it,
well, this. By next year, the XFL's starting a league. The old XFL is being restarted as well. So there may be more spring football than fall football when you get to it. So we'll see.
Yeah. I watched a few games this weekend, and my wife just shook her head. She's like, I thought football was over.
Yeah. It's every non-football fan's nightmare to have more football, huh?
I agree. Well, I want to thank you for spending time with me today, and I'm sure my listeners will enjoy listening to our talk and our interview. Once again, we're speaking with Randy Bataha, who played 7 years in the NFL. He is a friend of our hobby. He is always signing cards. You signed one for me when I first started collecting these about a year and a half ago. So I want to thank you. So I want to
great,
thank you
great.
For that.
Well, I tell everybody, and you know, I think it's a great hobby, and keep it up, and I hope the show goes really well.
Well, that wraps up another episode of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'd like to thank Randy Bataha for joining us today. I thank you, the listener, for hanging out with us. And as always, I wish you many happy returns.